your brothers feel okay about all this fellowship? This is not to replace the holy word line. This is not to replace the conference and trainings. Don't think that way. This is a normal home ed. Did you call it? Home education that will ensure that your church is in a basically a healthy state, the saints. And I think the saints will appreciate it. And we were just talking, Harry and I, you know, we always say the human spirit is the key, you know, the key, you know, to experiencing Christ, that famous little booklet, The Human Spirit. I will tell you these different kind of sense and feelings are absolutely key to the actual experience, daily experience, not in a general way, daily experience of almost everything. You know, for example, we talk about the divine dispensing. This is a high matter, great matter that was actually particularly recovered or brought to the fore in the 1980s, the divine dispensing. Reverend Brother Lee, for the first time, made a strong distinction between dispensation and dispensing. Two different things. Dispensation refers to the ages in God's administration, whereas dispensing is God's act in his Trinity to dispense himself, Father, Son, and Spirit into us, thereby accomplishing his economy. So in the 80s, he spoke quite much on the divine dispensing, and today it's common among us. So are you under the dispensing, you know? We all talk this way. We know what that means. But dispensing actually takes place when the fellowship of life is active, is present. And the fellowship of life is an old way to talk about dispensing, because it is in the fellowship of life that brings in the flow of life. And the flow of life is actually the divine supply that comes from the triune God to us. Okay? And the hinge, the key that can either open that up or keep it open, that water from flowing, right, the faucet, and what can turn it off is the conscience. Is the sense these blockages or these undealt with offenses or sins and worldliness and the flesh, all these things that will come in and create blockages and turn the light off or turn the faucet off, and the feeling alerts us to that. Positively alert, it tells us you're good, it's working. And the negative feeling, however faint, also tells us that there's a blockage there, or there's an insulation there, or there's a sin there, or there is an offense there that caused the life to be unable to flow. And that means to cause the dispensation, the dispensing to be restricted. So it should be that the more we grow in life and exercise to deal with these things, the more sensitive we become. So, for example, I don't even feel like I am not under the dispensing. I feel life is flowing. But there's just a tiny little feeling. You see what I'm saying? It's not entirely blocked. But there's a tiny something. When I'm younger, I may not have that feeling. But because I'm more exercised, I'm more grown, those feelings would be present. And I have to deal with that. to a young girl or young sister gossiping. They don't even feel a thing. Just gossiping. You know, gossip is not sin. Gossip is just gossip. Yeah, he... That's right. That's right. And you don't blame that because the person is young. But for advanced older sisters still to gossip and have no feeling, there's something quite wrong. It should be the more you are advanced to the point you would feel even gossip is sin.
Amen.
Not just some gross immoral thing, but even gossiping is sin. Losing the temper is sin. And having a bad attitude. How about that? Even no one knows you're having a bad attitude. But you know you have a bad attitude because there's some feeling there. And by the way, brothers, I forgot one actually very critical matter in this whole process. It's called light.
Amen.
We are actually helping the saints to know the light of life. And when life, when life, you know, life is now in our spirit, the Lord who is life is mingled with our spirit, so on. This Christ who is in our spirit, or this triune God, is not life, but he is light. And the more this divine light shines, and the light has many, many functions. Mm-hmm. One function, very much, is it exposes.
Right.
I mean, if we're in this room, there's no light, I don't see any dirt on the floor, I think everything is clean. Then you turn on the light, whoa, I mean, it's dirty. So in the book, The Knowledge of Life, there's a couple of chapters that speak on the light. I think those are some of the best utterances. This is from the 50s, early 50s. But still today is some of the best utterances on the matter of light. And that light, I would say, when it comes, how do you know light is there? I'm asking you. Oh, I had the light yesterday. How do you know? Who told you that? Huh? There's a sense, am I right? It's some kind of sense which is not made up here or just some psychological thing. It is from God, from a divine source, constantly giving you feeling. Actually, if you read this thing on the sense of light, it talks about God is in us, Christ is in us, the Spirit is in us, the anointing is in us, life is in us, and each of these, even the law of life is in us, each of these items gives forth feeling. Now imagine how rich that feeling is, how strong that feeling is. Actually, all of us sitting here and any time in waking moments, if we're with the Lord and really exercising ourselves, there should be always feelings. Yeah, always feeling. Now, I don't mean feeling like I need to jump up there or that kind of thing, but always the presence of the triune God is always there, right, giving forth some feeling.
Amen.
Now, eventually, like Gary brought up in our prayer this morning, eventually there's even, you know, I talk about the anointing. Then there's the other side of the spirit that is not just the conscience, but the intuition.
Amen.
How do you know the Lord is speaking to you? It's feeling. It's feeling. Now, you need to interpret that feeling. That's another matter, right? To know the Lord speaking to you. So these things, brothers, is not to cause us to introspect or to cause us to be you know, doing this, you know. Am I okay? That's not what we're doing. We should not sit there and self-analyze and what do you, these people who think they're sick all the time? They don't do this, right? You don't need to do this. But as long as you are in that fellowship of life with the Lord, there's always light about something, positively or negatively. There's always what? That with that light comes certain feeling from the Lord, not from the devil, from the Lord. You know, in time, brother, in the back, you, the saints, will begin to know the difference between accusation and condemnation.
Amen.
There's a difference.
Yes.
I cannot even verbalize and define so easily, but there is a difference. Accusation brings fear. It's destructive. You know what I mean? It actually brings you into more darkness, and it kills you. God's condemnation doesn't do that. It's condemnation. It's really condemning you. But that condemnation has a life element there. There's light there. There is specificity there. There is... you know what I mean. It's different. But you need to almost go through those two to over time to know the difference. To know the difference. So we should not shy away from this or help the saints not to be fearful about this exercise and experience. The light, I cannot tell you, the light is a big, big part in the matter. Okay. I cannot stop talking about this.
Get your opinion or your feeling about how, in preparation for these lessons, would you advise that the preparation be have a corporate as well as a personal, individual component? Or it just seems to me that what we're talking about here is very deep and very tender, very detailed.
Yeah.
And we could benefit from the experience
of others. Yeah. No, absolutely. I absolutely encourage some corporate fellowship among the brothers who will speak or bear the burden, absolutely, at least for balance, if nothing else. I'm talking you into this level of depth. I don't mean when you speak, you should speak like this. You don't even have the time to do so. But I feel it's important for we brothers, to really be detailed. Really. You know, Brother Lee he's an accountant. And his pencil is so sharp. He is so detailed, so meticulous about numbers, about everything. I mean, you know, he used to decorate the borrowed apartments. It's called the hall apartments. No. The ball apartments next to his house.
Yeah.
And so he would come with his yardstick and measure himself to the 16th inch or whatever, and that would be the picture, a certain picture, you know, from these Taiwan calendar, you know, whatever picture. And then from here is... Today, there's still. If you come and visit me in the Teachers Commons area in the FTTA, his table is still there. Sometimes I like to come at night and steal it, you know. It's Brother Lee's design table. And that was always put underneath the stairs. You know, there's some stairs that go up in Borrow, right to where he sits. And most of you have never been there, but it's for him. You go down there, he has a little bedroom, a room he can lay down. And outside is where the co-workers meet with him. That drawing that he did is still there. I can show you, okay? I can show you that table, I can show you that drawing, even some of the pens he uses still there. And that drawing is to the inch of chairs. Every chair, inch, and this, that's it. That's it. You know, the room is designed to fit the chairs. And when he comes, everything has to be like that. And when it does, it is not, he knows. Someone moved. No. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. If you want to know Brother Lee, that's Brother Lee. So in spiritual matters, the reason why he is so detailed and so thorough, that's because how he is. And without that kind of level of exercise or detail, you'll just be we'll all be spiritual slobs. You know, we'll have some experience of Christ, we have this or that, but no precision. Is that the word? No precision. Not specific. So your dealings are all general, sloppy, if I may say so, and you grow up a sloppy Christian. Your spiritual life is a sloppy one. It's not bad. It's just sloppy. But Brother Lee's, you know, by the inch, he especially cannot stand the Chinese. He always compares Chinese with the Japanese, and the Chinese is always bad. He always talk about the Japanese cleaning a room. They will take the rack or take whatever it is, go to the corner and clean everything. He said the Chinese clean it with a broom like they do Chinese calligraphy. Just done. Very, very Chinese calligraphy. That's not cleaning, that's calligraphy. He always talked to us this way. Well, I'm an architect, so I have a little bit of that. You know, when I see something not by eye, I can see that is not flat. And it bugs me when I see something that is not flat. I just have to go and move it. Then I feel a little better. You know. But you don't. You see what I'm saying? Brothers, I tell you, just like truth is the most precise thing in the universe. The Word of God. And today people don't treat truth like that. So in Christianity, truth is sloppy. You know, Father, Son, and Spirit, or whatever. Brotherly, you know how precise he is. This verse, that verse. So that is I'm even speaking this, brothers, for our learning. Amen. I'm even right now training us to learn how to take care of things. So many churches, I'm sorry, it's a slop. I go there, I right away know it's a sloppy church because the leading ones are sloppy. If the leading ones don't deal with the Lord with a measure of thoroughness, don't expect the saints will better you. They will only go as far as you go. So, I hope the brothers will take this matter seriously. And if you handle these matters in this kind of care, with this kind of care, it could change your life. It could make the day and night difference of being sloppy or being, specific and thorough. Big difference, big difference. Sorry, I'm going to give you yesterday morning, sorry, I'm talking about me. That's always bad. You know, right now in New York, they're having a Chinese training. You know, I don't know, the perfecting training. Yeah. Every year they used to do it in New Jersey for many years, and now they're in Kingston, Camp Penile or something. And the brothers asked me, please come, or at least can you Skype in? I can, because I'm here. So you're the problem, right? I say I can't, so I'm sorry. Well, yesterday morning I woke up. You know, for me it's very interesting. The Lord comes to me usually in the early hours. Not every day, I'm not saying every day. But when he speaks something to me, very commonly it's in the early hours, dawn more time. While I'm still in bed. So the feeling came to me. Because the feeling came to me, and I just wrote it down. I wrote down 20 points. 20 points in Chinese. Of, you know, the Chinese, they have these two sets of things. What do you call it? Ha dui lian. You know. And two doors, two sets of things. So I have 20 sets, each set with four words. Four words. I have 20 sets. I just wrote it down. Okay, very quickly I wrote it down. Then I sent it to the brothers. I said, just use this. This is my fellowship. Well, I shouldn't have done that because that was the first pass. So it's very crude, very imprecise. Very sloppy. But the feeling, the burden was genuine, and I believe it's of the Lord. So this morning, the Hong Kong milk tea kicked in, and I couldn't sleep. The Lord didn't wake me up, the tea woke me up, right? But anyway, I was up early, like 3 o'clock or something like that. I can't sleep. So I thought about those 20 things, sloppy things, right? So I spend the next 2 hours rewriting them. What do you call it? Editing it. Polishing. For 2 hours. Then finally, I finished and I resent it. Right after I resent, I said, no, there's still two things very bad. So I changed it again. I sent it to the brother. Please change that. Then I came to this meeting just now in the break. I sat there. I look at it again and said, no, still bad. Do you see what I'm saying, brothers? That's Brother Lee. And I'm not Brother Lee. I'm trying to say I'm learning from Brother Lee. You see, the church needs that level of care. You know why your church is not built up? Because there's not this level of care. It's sloppy. Just make some announcement, do a few things, stir up a little bit. Your heart, your care, your detailed attention is inadequate. So your church will reflect that. We'll just reflect that. So I hope, brothers, we learn in these things. Whether it's in gospel preaching, whether it's in the study of the truth, we need to help the saints in with this level of attention. Yeah. I hope you would pick this up, brothers. Okay. Now, what do we go on to do? I'd like to now switch gear and talk about direction. I'd like to firstly talk about the local churches, all right? The local churches in this new year. You know, we all have the standard holy word for morning revival, right? So we keep doing that. That's a bit routine. And I hope the day will come, it will be lifted out of routine. Our prophesying meeting actually need a lot of improvement. But it is a line that keeps us in the present, speaking of the Lord. Very important. I hope all the churches are always faithfully following that. Then we have this family training. It's another line. So, and then I think in many churches you still have yet another line, and that is reading the life studies. Two a week? It's, I think you're in Hebrews right now.
Yes.
I would say that is a wonderful line, even if not 100% of your saints do it. Let's say only a third of the saints. That is already very good. If you can have a third of your saints do it. But I hope that you will not only always the same oldies reading it. I hope you can expand that into some younger ones who will pick up this appetite, huh? This kind of taste for the life studies. In the full-time training, all the graduates, they ask me now, what do I do post-training? I said, among 10 items, one of the main items, start reading the life studies and read it according to Brother Lee's sequence of release, which is Romans, John, Hebrews, Matthew, Revelation, Matthew, on and on and on. Concurrently is Genesis. That's the Wednesday night ministry station, and then Exodus. In the life study of the Old Testament, if you don't read any other books, you must read Genesis. That's number one, Old Testament. Number two, you must read Exodus. If you don't read anything else, even if you don't read the prophets, you don't read the history, you must read these two books. It is essential.
Amen.
So I told them to do this. So, brothers, this has to be built up as a kind of a habit. You should not feel, oh, with too many lines, too many things. Well, we cannot compare ourselves to Christianity. We're different. You know, we are more studious people. We're more, am I right? We have a lot more that is given to us. So just help the saints build up. Some can do only this, some can only do that, right? Nothing is even, but these lines are our basic food, our basic nourishment and supply and help to the saints, okay? So this thing, I would just assume we're doing that. Then, brothers, I would like to say that obviously you have to, this is food, right? Then, obviously, you have to continue to strengthen, enrich, and improve your meetings. Your meetings, okay? The Lord's table, we spoke quite a lot about in recent days even, right? The Lord's table. I don't know whether the worship of the Father has improved. Right, the praise. Oh, by the way, if I'm here in Labor Day. Oh, by the way, I haven't talked about this. I will not be here this Labor Day. All right, that should be good news, because I need to go to the Midwest to give this particular Labor Day conference for the Lord's move there, but. This Labor Day, we're going to cover the Jubilee by way of a blended speaking by many brothers amongst us here. We will have brothers that will bear the burden for the message, some older brothers, some younger brothers. We will also have brothers that will bear the burden to lead the testimonies or even close the testimonies. so that the speaking will be abundant and satisfying. All right? So those outlines are almost done. Almost done. What I'm trying to say is this. If I'm here, I may not speak on Jubilee. You know what? I have 4 messages, top, on the subject of praising. Because I'm very burdened about that. You know, I talk about praising in Kansas City.
Right.
My message.
Yeah.
Last message on praising. I'm very burdened. And these 4 outlines are like, oh my goodness, they are just like the best. On praising. On the matter of praising. Brothers, do you know one day there will be no more prayer in the universe? No. It's over. There's no need. But praise will ever rise in eternity. Prayer is for this age in time because there's a need. There's a warfare. There's an enemy. We have needs. You know, God's economy is not accomplished. Well, in the New Jerusalem, God's economy will be accomplished. And what do you pray about? The enemy is destroyed. And what are you going to pray for? But praise will still be necessary. Because God wants worship in the form of praise. So this matter of praise is a matter that is very high, very deep, and very eternal that we have not really touched it to the depth. Okay, forget about that. So that's Labor Day. So I made the announcement about Labor Day. So those outlines will be ready by the end of this month. So you all have a full month to prepare for the Labor Day conference. I think it will be very rich. Very, very. Okay. So I'm still talking about the church, right? Okay. The meetings of the church. The Lord's table, never let these meetings become routine. Not even one time. All right? You have to bear the burden. You have to help the saints, be a pattern to the saints, and help the saints to regard the meetings of the church. And what? And to be priests, the first thing is your hands have to be full.
Amen.
To bring something to the meetings. The second is the prophesying time. Prophesying time. I don't mention the family training. That's a little different nature. But the prayer meeting. Prayer meeting. Need to be uplifted and strengthened. And some of these Lord's Day meetings, another word I would like to use, you have to make it attractive so that new ones come. They love it. It's not dead. It befits the Lord's recovery. But all that is work. If you let it go, you do a routine thing, just every week you just do it with no sense of advance and improvement. Okay? So anyway, that's that. Then I come to a very important point, brothers, in the church life. And that is the gospel.
Amen.
I must say something. Now you say, whoa, we're here trying to deal with the conscience. We can't preach the gospel yet. We're still dealing with the conscience. You're wrong. You're wrong. These things are not mutually exclusive. We have a multidimensional church life, all right? Of course we have to preach the gospel. In fact, when you preach the gospel, you have to deal with your conscience, right? And you have to be right with the Lord, so forth. All right, I like to especially mention 3 things, which I told the brothers about, 3 things for our gospel, local or cluster gospel work. That should be a frequent thing. Every church here must be a gospel-preaching church.
Amen.
Every church. That's healthy. But that culture or habit, again, needs building up. Number one, I hope in time, and you start small, but you start, you will start to build up at least amongst a percentage of the saints, a weekly outreach. This could take many forms. It could be putting out a table in some place. It could be knocking on doors. It could be going out to sing if you want to. It could be visiting backslidden ones. It could be visiting contacts from BFA. It could be just even visiting your coworker down the street that you have a burden for, warm doors. It could be anything, but make this a weekly practice. A good time is Lord's Day afternoon into the evening. Just 1 hour. Start with 1 hour. So the saints don't feel drained or burn out, you know. Just start with that. You have a church of 50 people. If 10 saints will do this, it's a very good start. 20%. That would be a very good start. But the key is regularity. Gospel is a fire. If you don't, like the burnt offering, if you don't keep the wood there, it will die out. It will die out. So this needs to be a regular thing. I don't care it's a campus. I don't care it's this or that. Okay. So, and I'm very serious about this, brothers. You have to pick this up and do it. This matter right now in Taiwan is, even they are coming back to this, coming back, because even they stopped doing it in Taiwan. Now even they felt they need to come back to build this up, matter up again. I got the greatest help from Brother Ling Hong. You know Ling Hong, this co-worker there. He is very, very instrumental in this matter. I really admire him. I very much admire his labor in this way. Even in Taiwan, not Taipei, not all the halls do it, but some they do. And you can see the results. So that's number one. Don't despise this matter as small. And by the way, brothers, get rid of the concept that Americans, locals, are not open. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it, okay? There are seekers. There are open sinners. And I mentioned backslidden ones because of my message on the sin-bearing life. I think it's message one, right? Was it message one? Yeah. On the sin offering. The ram. The goat. Huh? The bull. No. It's the sin offering. Is the bull? Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay. So that sin-bearing life, because I spoke and has been really also very much working within me, I tell you, to recover a backslidden saint, even if it takes a year or two, is worthwhile. There are many who, if with some care, they will return to the flock. And there are many who are out there. So I don't care what your burden is, go out. Go out and touch people. Go out, just go out. And it needs some brothers to kind of lead this, to bring the saints together, to pray, and then go week by week. Very, very healthy. Very, very healthy. So that's number one. Number two, brothers, go through your small groups. You all have small groups of some kind. To help these small groups all to be not stale and unfruitful kind of routine. Some over time just fall into a kind of routineness and just kind of nothing much happened. They just come together, right? So it may be a leadership problem. In some cases, there's some difficulty within the group, and it could be many things. But if you don't go and help, they will just assume that kind of status quo and just continue in that way. So in my small group, I don't have a small group now because I'm not even there. But every year we consider, should this couple still stay with us? No, you've been here long enough. Go, kick you out the nest. And you start a new small group. Or you join that group that has a need. You know, so we're never in a, 10 years later, the same group of people. There are a lot of small groups today like that. It's always fluid and always renewing itself and always multiplying. So this is a huge, big thing. We need to really talk more about it. But I'm saying pay attention to the small group because these small groups are the shepherd's tents. Amen. Where we nurture people and we shepherd people. And we even care for each other. A lot of our small groups today is very religious, just bringing a big meeting to somebody's living room. It is not relaxed enough. It is not informal enough. It is not people-centered enough. It is not need-oriented enough. It's just a form, you know, just a formality. So we need to break out of that so that the small groups can become really places to retain the new ones and return the weak ones. Okay, so this is actually very big. Then one last thing on this matter of the gospel. I like to promote that, especially in a cluster way, because one church is a bit weak. In a cluster way, we will consider having in-reaping meetings, gospel in-reaping meetings, all right? A whole cluster. So that day or that night, you bring all the ones we've been laboring on and so forth. Some are saved. Some it's time to make a commitment, right, to come together and hear a word. Not some big, long gospel message, but to hear a word, have a meal, many ways to do this. Brotherly promoted that. Then, at least on the English-speaking side, we stopped doing it, but the Chinese continue in Southern California. Do you have it here, this in-reaping meeting?
Not really.
Not really. I think you should consider, by cluster and by some way, at least once a year, if better twice a year. That has also an effect of fanning the gospel flame, fire. You go and hear a gospel message, it just stirs you up.
Amen.
Very, very healthy. You know, this time I sang my way through message 10. Right? Someone told me, I don't even remember how many I sang. Someone said, you sang 10 songs. I didn't even count 10 songs. I'll tell you, many of those songs are gospel songs.
Yes.
Vanity, vanity. You know that one? He is so good. He is so really sweet. You know that one? Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. You know that one? I will sing hallelujah. You know that one? On the Jubilee. Most of the songs that night were gospel songs. And you know, when you sing gospel songs, you just cannot help but have the gospel love and the, you know, that feeling. That's what we need. That's what we need. I let you, the cluster, to consider. Plan this out in your planning twice a year. you would do something. You say, well, no one will come. Well, don't say that. Well, the Chinese, they come. They have nothing to do. These Americans, they won't come. No, don't say that. You should not say that. Don't you believe in miracles? Brothers, we need to fan the gospel flame.
Amen.
In the whole Bay Area. Even your conscience is still a bit dull, preach the gospel, okay? Don't use that as an excuse, all right? It'll be not a navel-gazing church, huh? We all need to be white field, right? Seeing church. This will please the Lord. So I have these three things to share with you. Okay, I'm going to stop now for this session because I have one more session to talk about some other things. But there's still 2 minutes. You have some questions on all these matters? Now, let me use this, the end of this time, just 2-3 minutes. I strongly suggest every local church this month, latest next month, the leading brothers and the responsible ones would come together for a longer time, not just one meeting, a few meetings, to plan at least the next 6 months, if not the whole year, to plan. And when I say plan, I don't mean just write down some schedule. I mean burden. We have these burdens, brothers. We cannot do everything, but we're going to build this up. We cannot touch the small groups yet, but at least we can start with going out on Sunday. Burden-driven fellowship to come up with a plan for the next 6 months. And then in January, you do a plan for the first half of the year and make it a habit among you. We have a lot of elders meeting, leading brothers meeting. It's nothing but routine, you know, just routinely taking care of things. You know, I hate that. No. We need to plan things out for your church for the next 6 months. The Lord, you have to pray. The Lord will give you a particular direction. Fremont has a different need than San Francisco. So you need to go to the Lord in Fremont what we should do. And you need to go to the Lord in San Francisco what you should do. Big church, small church, you need to have a time of seeking of the Lord and have some particular burden that the Lord will give you, right? And then you have you can set some goals and for the next 6 months. Please do this. Brothers, this is the way to do business. No goal, no plan, no business. It's not a business. It's just inspiration and kind of fighting fires or something. Last thing, I will stop here. I still want to bring up the 15%. Remember the 15% increase per year? Remember that?
Yes.
If we do it, we will double our membership in about 7 years.
7 years.
At 10% in 10 years. Non-compound interest. So that's a cheating. Not cheating. That's making things easier. So you always have the same base. Okay, 15%. And why the home meetings are so important, small groups? Because if you break it down to the small groups, it becomes easy. If you look at the one big number, it's always hard to achieve, right? So I hope we would all learn how to do business with the Lord and have this kind of a enterprising spirit, okay? You have any questions to these things? Do you have planning? I like to ask. Do the leading brothers plan? Okay. does not seem like everyone... Well, I think you should. I think you should. Right? You say, well, I'm afraid to set goals because we never hit it. Well, it's better than no goal. When you have no goal, you don't even try to hit anything. There's nothing to hit. It's a way of measuring progress, right? It gives us a healthy impetus in our service. Okay. I think I better stop here, brothers. Huh? It's okay. We come back in about, say, 15 minutes, shall we? How about 10 after?
Amen.
Okay. We can break now.
Amen.